Now, Father, this morning we come before you thankful for your word, so thankful that you have not left us in the dark, but you have given us your word to reveal who you are, to bring salvation to sinners' souls. Lord, you are the lover of our soul. We pray that we know you more through the word you've given us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You ever been lost? Confused about what's going on around you? Maybe you're lost in a car and in a place where you don't know where you are, especially pre-cell phone days when you didn't have Siri to help you out of it or Garmin to get you where you needed to be. Well, one instance in which I've felt lost before is when I've visited other countries. You're in a place with a lot of people doing things that you're not accustomed to, talking really fast and moving really quickly, and nothing that you comprehend or understand. And you sometimes can be in an area that things just seem overwhelming and you seem lost. And there's nothing so heartwarming than to find someone that you can communicate with. Someone that can help you translate, if you will, and make some sense of all of the chaos that's going on. And I can remember the first time when getting to Haiti and getting in that airport where people were going left and right and people were trying to grab your baggage to help you carry it. And people are everywhere, and people are talking in loud voices, and it's so fast, and you're just going, what am I supposed to do? And the only thing that you're worried about is finding someone who knows what they're doing that can communicate with you and say, go this way, come here. In the scripture, one of the things that we see the Lord being so gracious to us is that he gives people throughout history and throughout the history of mankind to communicate with us truth that makes sense of the chaos that's going on around us. And you see it from the beginning of the pages of Scripture all the way to the end. There are representatives of God who give us some sort of truth that gives us our bearings in a world where we would feel lost. Like someone with their inner ear problem, vertigo going on, and you just can't find your bearings. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open to the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to begin in Jeremiah chapter 2 this morning. And we're in a series called The Story of Redemption, looking at how God is redeeming a people throughout history and giving us the story in the scripture of how that's happening, giving us the narrative, giving us the log, if you will, of how he is redeeming a people for his glory. And church, you are that people for his glory. One of the ways in which, one of the characters, if you will, in the narrative of God's story of redemption is the prophet. The prophet. We're reading through the major prophets right now. We've read Isaiah. We're reading through Jeremiah right now. We're going to hit some more minor prophets. We've read through some minor prophets. We've done Jonah and some others. Joel or Micah. Some others that we've done. Prophets are a special character in God's story. And I want to talk about the role of the prophet today in Jeremiah, and then next week we'll get into more of Jeremiah's role as a prophet. But today I really want to zone in on what is a prophet and what is his role. So I want to present to you a definition of a prophet today as one who declares the word of God. One who declares the word of God. This is what a prophet is. One who brings forth the word of God. Represents the Lord by bringing forth a word. Now, through the scriptures, we have many prophets that are named. The first major prophet being Abraham. And then you've got Moses coming along, and then you've got Isaiah and Jeremiah, and all of these speaking on behalf of God. These are the prophets. Now, the word, the Hebrew word for prophet is N-A-B-I. And I'm going to go ahead and say it is Nabi. And it's from the root word meaning to bubble forth. To bubble forth as from a fountain. You get the tie there? A prophet is one who is bubbling forth, not water, but the words of God. And so what you see is God has not left us in the dark. The Lord has been gracious not to leave us in a world of chaos without communicating to us truth to help us find our bearings. Are you thankful for that? I am so thankful that the Lord has not left us in the dark. And so let me give you a few words. A prophet is one who declares or bubbles forth the word of God. Got that? Prophet. One who what? Bubbles forth the word of God. Then we have a prophecy. And a prophecy is the words of God that that prophet is bringing. So that's the prophecy. And to prophesy, that's with an S-Y, prophesy is when someone is in the act of giving a prophecy. Or when a prophet is in the act of giving a prophecy. So you've got a prophet, you've got a prophecy, and you've got someone who prophesies. And that's the verb form of giving that over. Let me give you an example. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. Y'all read this with me, if you will. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, a lamb not sown. Now, did you notice in verse 1, if you'll go back to verse 1, you see the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah, at that point, is going to become a prophet and one who's going to prophesy and bring a prophecy to God's people. I use all three of your new vocabulary words. Is that impressive or what? Jeremiah is a prophet who's going to prophesy and bring forth the prophecy that the Lord has given to him, the word of God. That is what a prophet is, someone who brings the truth, the word of God, to a people in order to communicate on behalf of God. Here's the great news. We know that the God of the Scriptures is a God who is not silent. A God who's not silent. This is fabulous news. This means He is a knowable God because He is communicating to us. Friends, that's great news. It is not that God is so distant and God is so far off that He cannot be communicated with. That is a very prevalent idea in our culture. I want to walk through a little bit of the prophecy beginning here of Jeremiah and what he's doing. And then we're gonna tie this in another way. So if you will, let's read through a few passages in Jeremiah together and see what's going on here and then see how this ties in to the bigger picture, the story of redemption. Are you ready? Chapter 2, verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. The state of the nation is what I've kind of given the title of this. What's the state of the nation of Israel at this time during Jeremiah's reign? Therefore, I still contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your children's children I will contend. For the cross, for cross to the coast of Cyprus and see, or send to Kedar and examine with care and see if there's been any such thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory or their God for that which does not profit. And basically, Jeremiah is saying, have you ever seen this before? Have you seen a nation change their gods? And those aren't even gods. But Israel has neglected the true God for something that's not even real. And then what Jimmy read for us this morning. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate. In other words, this is terrible. Be shocked out of your mind. Verse 13, for my people have committed how many evils? Let's see what they are. First, they have what? Forsaken me, forsaken God, Remember, this is the prophecy coming from Jeremiah. They have forsaken me, and firstly, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and secondly, what? They've hewn out cisterns for themselves. Now, most of y'all probably don't use the word hewed out very often, but that means just to fashion something, or to make, or to build, to dig out these cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So not only have you abandoned me, you've replaced me. Not only have you abandoned me, you've replaced me. And this is the state of the nation of Israel. They have abandoned the true God. They've exchanged the truth of God, truth about God, for a lie, Romans 1. And they've replaced him with broken jars that can't even hold water. They're broken jars. They've got holes in them. They're cracked. They're not even functional. The state of the nation. They've abandoned God and they've replaced him. So here is, the prophecy continues, Jeremiah's call to the nations. Jeremiah's call to the nation. Here's what you need to do. You've abandoned God. You've replaced him with a fake, broken, not functioning God. Here's what you need to do. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. Y'all with me? Go and proclaim these words to the north and say, here's the prophecy. Return, O faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt, that you have rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among foreigners under every green tree. You've been an idolater, he's saying. You've been false worship. And that you have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Return, return, O faithless children, declares the Lord, for I am your master. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family. I will bring you to Zion. You've abandoned God. You've replaced him. But return. Come back to me. Repent and believe that I am the one true God. Repent. Come back. Believe the word of God. Here's the state of the nation. Here's the call to the nation. And now we look at the response of the nation. In chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter 7. They've forsaken God. They've replaced God. They're asked to repent, and here's the response. Jeremiah 7, 27. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will what? Y'all help me out. But they will what? Not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. And you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, and they did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. Cut off your hair and cast it away. Raise a lamentation on the bare heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. Chapter 17, verse 23 adds to that. Yet they did not listen or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck that they might not hear and receive instruction. They've abandoned God. They've replaced God. They've been called to return to God, and they've stiffened their neck and said, we will not return. Like the image here is of an animal you're trying to lead somewhere and you're trying to pull them by that bridle, and they stiffen their neck and they say, no, I'm not coming. Wherever you want me to go, I'm not coming. And that's the picture that he's given. I'm not doing it. You can pull all you want. I'm stiffening my neck for you. Well, so we see the Lord's response to their response, and you know it. Jeremiah chapter 4. So the Lord brings forth this word, Jeremiah 4, verse 23. I looked on the earth, and behold, it was without form and void. What does that remind you of? Genesis, right? When it was chaos. That's exactly what the Lord's saying. I saw the chaos here. And to the heavens, and they had no light. You see, it's this destructive state. And I looked to the mountains, and behold, they were quaking, and all the hills were moved to and fro, and this is a chaotic state. I looked, and behold, there was no man. All the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and behold, the fruitful land was a desert. And all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. And thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, and yet I will not make a full end. For this the earth shall mourn, and the heavens shall be dark. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, I will not turn back. What's the Lord going to do? He's going to bring destruction. And it's going to be felt all through the land. He continues in Jeremiah 16 and says, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah. You shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons and daughters in this place. For the Lord says, for thus the Lord says concerning sons and daughters who were born in this place, and concerning mothers who bore and fathers who fathered in this land, they shall die of deadly diseases. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried. They shall be as dung on the surface of the ground. They shall perish by the sword and by famine, and their dead bodies shall be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. A hard message, isn't it? So here's the point in all of this, is to say, when a people reject their Lord, when they forsake their God, when they replace Him, the Lord calls out and says, come back to me. Repent to me. Come to me. But when the neck is stiffened and they turn away from the drawing of God, from the message of God, His course of action is to bring about exactly what they desire, and that is to be away from the good presence of the Lord, and He brings wrath and destruction. Y'all got that so far? That's a familiar story. It should be, at least to you. It happens several times in the Old Testament. And as we see, the armies of Babylon come in and they destroy and do everything that's prophesied here. But let me give you words that we hear 650 years later. Because for being a prophet, for voicing the word of God, do you know what Jeremiah got from all this? He got thrown down into the ground, under the mud, and left to die. Those in Israel didn't say, thank you for bringing us the word of God. We appreciate it so much. It's so valuable to us. What they did was they tortured him. And they said, we don't want what you've got. We despise you and your words and your God. But 650 years later, let me read to you these words that come from an unknown author. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by whom? By the prophets. And what's a prophet? One who bubbles forth, speaks the word of God. But in these last days, He has spoken to us. How? By His Son. You hear that? You hear that? That's big. That's big. Now, in these last days, the author of Hebrews says, He's spoken to us not by merely prophets. There's an upgrade. A serious upgrade. Now He's speaking to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. So what we see is that the prophets who brought us the word of God were good. But now we have the Son bringing us the word of God, which is better. And this is not anything we shouldn't expect, because Moses told us in Deuteronomy that it was coming. Deuteronomy 18 says this, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of your assembly, when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see any great fire.'" Remember, at the Mount Horeb, they were afraid to hear the voice of God, so they said, "Moses, you go talk to God for us, and you tell us what he says." Well, this is exactly what Jesus is going to do now. Verse 18, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." Remember that phrase, "he shall speak to them," what? "All that I command him." Now remember that phrase. Y'all still with me? All right, let's finish this thing up. The story of redemption, as we know, is not just in part of the Bible. It's throughout the entirety. And I'm going to give you a snapshot. I gave you one from Jeremiah. I'm going to give you one from the Gospel of John. You ready? The state of the nation. John chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. "The true light, which enlightens, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet, the world," what? "Did not know him. He came into his own, and his own people," what? "Did not receive him." So the state of the nation, they had not received him. They have forsaken him. Sound familiar? Here's another one. John 3:19, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness." The default state of humanity is to love darkness. Why? Well, it tells us why. They love darkness rather than the light because their works or their deeds were evil. The state of the nation, rejecting the light of God. Here we are, 650 years later. That's a long time, y'all. Long time. Same state of the nation. So here, Jesus brings a call to the nation. Are y'all ready? John 6:35. There are many, many calls in John. I'll give you one. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, "I am what? I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me." Come on, "whoever comes to me shall not hunger, whoever believes in me shall never thirst." You want satisfaction? You're not finding it anywhere except in me, Jesus says. "But I said that to you, that you have seen me and do not believe. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Come to me, I will not cast you out." Sound familiar? "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have" what, church? "Eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." If you are not here this morning, if you have abandoned God and replaced him with other things for your satisfaction, Jesus is beckoning to you, come. And he says, "Any who come to me, I will not cast out. And any who believe in me, you will have eternal life, and you will be raised up on the last day." This is the gospel call. Have you heard the gospel call? Have you responded to the gospel call? Here's the response of the nation. We have the state of the nation, the call to the nation. Here's the response of the nation. Surely 650 years later, the necks will not stiffen. John 6:41. After Jesus says these words, here's how they respond. So the Jews, what? Grumbled. about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I've come down from heaven'?" John chapter 8, verse 52. The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, 'If anyone keeps my words, he will never taste death.' Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets that died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" The nation doesn't want to see Jesus as a greater prophet than Abraham, than Moses, than Jeremiah. I told you earlier that for graciously bringing forth the word of God, what did Jeremiah get? He got a whole bunch of people mad at him, is what he got, who physically assaulted him. Well, what about Jesus, the greater prophet? Surely, bringing forth the word of God, being so gracious to bring God's words and the truth that will save people from eternal condemnation and death and torment, surely people would receive Jesus and celebrate. And what did Jesus get? Not thrown into a pit in the ground, but raised onto a cross. Because the people loved darkness and their deeds were evil. So you have two snapshots. You have Jeremiah. You have Jesus, a prophet bringing the word, a greater prophet bringing a greater word. And I want to bring it back in this room today and say, how do you respond to the prophet, the great prophet, and to the word of God? Now remember, I asked you to remember something about what Moses said. And it's in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. I'm going to read it to you one more time before I read the next verse. Deuteronomy 18, 18. "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." You see it? "He shall speak to them all that I command him." Now, with that fresh Deuteronomy 18, 18 in your mind, you look at John 17, verse 7 and 8. "Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you." This is Jesus praying. "Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, God." Now watch this. "For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and that they have believed that you sent me." What did Jesus give them? What the Father gave him to give them. And they received it now and believed. He's talking about the disciples. He's praying for them. Jesus is that greater prophet. He's brought a greater word. He is the prophet of the last days that the author of Hebrews is talking about. Jesus is the one who makes sense of our chaos. And so let me make this plea to you. Let me give you this word. Jesus gives the truth in order to make sense of your chaotic world. And just as if I'm in an airport in a land where I don't speak their language, and things are going on around me and the world is shaking and I don't know where to go or what to do, I'm looking for something to make sense of all this. Do we not know, Christians, that what makes sense of every bit of chaos, even in the United States of America, where we know the language and we know the culture, when chaos surrounds us, and when the worldviews that don't line up with our worldview seem to beat us down like waves on the ocean, and when what we believe seems to be in doubt, there is a truth that we can look to, and His name is Jesus. Because Jesus has brought us the greatest truth that we can know, and that is this, that God loves sinners and redeems sinners and calls sinners to know Him. And He redeems them in this story of redemption to proclaim His glory. So I want to give you this encouragement. If you're not a Christian today, if you are lost and feel like the world is chaotically beating you around you and leading you into places of confusion, of misunderstanding, of depression, of hopelessness, I want to point you to Jesus. And I want to point you to His Word that's revealed in the Scriptures, because they can make sense of the crazy world that you live in. Jesus saves. Christian, if you're here today and you are walking through a season of doubt, if you're trying to figure out how to be a better parent or a better grandparent, if you're trying to figure out how to make decisions that just don't make sense in life, or career choices or school choices or friend choices, look to the truth that Jesus Christ has given to us in His Word. Because our God is gracious in that He sent the prophet, the one who bubbles forth the Word of God, to guide us into all truth and righteousness, that we might know our God and that we might make Him known. Thanks be to God that He has sent us His prophets and His great prophet, Jesus Christ our Lord. We can know God in heaven. Praise be to God. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to not be silent, to give us Your Son, to reveal to us who You are, and to save us from our sin, and call us to a greater purpose of glorifying the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.